It's time to chat to Peter Allam, talking about legal matters. And today we're talking about arbitration. And with that, Peter, on this rainy Monday morning, very good morning to you.
Yes, very good morning to you, Wayne, and to all our listeners. We can't say the sunny Wild Coast. wet and shall we say humid, eh?
Indeed. Very much rainy this morning.
Very much, and I believe it's there for the week, so we need the rain. I never say no to the rain. My garden's looking good after this last week.
Right, and everything growing...
This morning we'll be on arbitration. We have touched arbitration and mediation previously, but I thought I'd just go through arbitration only. So arbitration is completely different to mediation. Mediation is where you appoint a mediator, he tries to settle it, it's not a final order. Arbitration on the other side is an agreement that's reached, an award is made, and that award you can have made an order of court. So it's a more definite one. It's like a judgment and arbitration award. So what is the position with arbitration? Normally you will find that in most agreements, be it the sale of a business, be it a building agreement, be it any other form of contract that people have entered into, could be contract of employment, most of those have a clause in it which allows for arbitration. Not mediation, arbitration. It will set out that the arbitration will be according to the arbitration laws. If you're doing a contract, a South African contract, we will, for example, say the South African law with regard to arbitration. If it's a foreign document, it may have a foreign country's arbitration rules and regulations applicable. So it's set out quite clearly how to appoint the arbitrator, how the arbitration will go about, and when it will go about. Arbitrations are normally quick. Sometimes it can take a little while, depending on the evidence and that is to be led, depending on the witnesses that are called. So unlike mediation, which is probably a lot quicker, arbitration can, in some certain instances, take a little bit longer than normal. So the first thing one would look for is to see if there is a clause in your agreement that allows for arbitration. If it is, that will set out how you need to go about it. If it's not, often you find people have problems and can't come to terms with an agreement or something like that, and the suggestion is made that the matter is referred to arbitration. If you refer a matter to arbitration, then the arbitrator will make you enter into an agreement, a signed agreement, stating that you consent to it and what the procedure will be, when it will be heard, what witnesses will be called. So you get a pre-arbitration agreement that is entered into between the parties. That pre-arbitration agreement is also, when you do the normal arbitration in terms of a contract, is also entered into between the parties. In other words, the arbitrator will call both parties or the parties and their representatives in, identify the problem, identify the number of witnesses, identify where it will be heard, identify the procedure, and also try and put a time frame into place in a pre-arbitration agreement, which will then be signed by all parties and be official. Then it comes to D-Day, when you're going to do the actual arbitration, which will result at the end with an arbitration agreement, award, shall we say, by the arbitrator. Let's just deal with the arbitrator himself first as well, Wayne. The arbitrator is normally an expert in the field that the arbitration is about. So if it's something legal, you'll find a senior attorney or an advocate. You know, they normally say with 5 to 7 years experience, so that you're not getting somebody who perhaps does not know exactly or has experienced what the law is. If it's, for example, a plumbing problem, one would normally say that you appoint the chairman of the local plumbers association or somebody from there that's experienced enough. Mechanical thing with a mechanic. Engineers, those are common things these days. You get all sorts of different engineers, and mostly you find where they're building disputes or, you know, anything like that, that it is appointed mutually or by the board of engineers as to whom will do it. In our little town, believe it or not, we have a whole lot of engineers that are very, very well respected and spend most of their time these days doing arbitrations. So it's encouraging to note. Also in the legal field, we have a number of experienced advocates, attorneys, and the like. Retired judges are a favorite as well. We've got some great retired judges from the Eastern Cape who do arbitrations for us. So you're getting your money's worth in the sense that you're getting an experienced person that does it correctly. Okay? So what will happen is that at the end of the day, you will get an arbitration agreement which will set out the procedure that has taken place. It will identify the two parties. It will identify what the problem is. You know, there's claimant claim and a respondent's response normally in writing when you do that. So at that pre-arbitration, you will ask for the claimant claim, and the respondent will have an opportunity in writing to respond. So that there's a guideline as to what has to be dealt with. You don't want to take people by surprise. So you don't want to think that the problem relates to X and you get to the arbitration and the guy doesn't cover X and he covers Y. So you've got to identify the problem up front as well, and that's what you will concentrate on. The arbitrator in the agreement is identified. You nominate one, you appoint one, and then that arbitrator comes on board, and if there's no agreement on it or there's some reason why he should excuse himself, you normally have a clause that said he'll be removed within 7 days or asked to stand down, and then, you know, you will get another arbitrator in to assist. That's the way there. As I mentioned to you in the pre-arbitration, the date will have been settled. Very important, the venue will also have been settled. And, you know, when you come to a venue these days with arbitrations, you need to make sure that you've got a proper recorder in place as well, because all arbitrations are fully recorded. So there's nothing that's done without a recording of the evidence that is led. You don't want somebody to say, this is what so-and-so said, and you've got handwritten notes like we had in the old days of support, which is just not acceptable. So you get a venue, and you get a system in place for that as well. Like I mentioned, the disputes, you identify clearly what the dispute is. You can't keep adding on. You know, if a dispute's over a motor vehicle that's been, or a, let's say a big truck that's been repaired, you can't come along and say that, you know, the engine was the problem, and then 6 days later say, oh, by the way, I think they've changed two of the back tyres. Those are not the tyres we had on there. We want that dealt with as well. So you positively identify what the problem is. The arbitrator, he has his powers. He determines what the disputes are, and any ancillary or incidental information relating thereto, he can bring into the picture, or the applicant or respondent can do the same. And then, of course, you know, from what evidence is led, the arbitrator has the power eventually to make a decision. He will listen to the evidence that's made, and then he will interpret the situation and determine the extent and nature of, one, his jurisdiction, and two, his power to make the award. So he needs to make sure that he gives a proper reasoning for the decision that he arrives at. He will have a full summary, like a normal court case, where he will give the view of what the respondent has said, what the claimant has said, what various witnesses have said, and come to a conclusion in that regard. So you basically have, another way of putting it is that you follow the High Court rules of procedure. That's what all arbitrators do. So, you know, it must be in accordance with what is legally permitted, be it an engineer, be it a plumbing matter, be it whatever. You need to follow rules in that regard, and the arbitrator eventually arrives at his decision. The arbitrator, of course, unlike a mediation, you normally share the cost. You don't award cost against one of these parties. However, in arbitration, the arbitrator has the right to award toss as he deems fit at the end. So he may come along and give a decision that says, you know, it's not quite clear. I'm not going to give a ruling. Each party pay their own costs. So he might come along and say, the claimant is, accepted, but because of the extent of what has taken place here, I'm not going to award costs. Mm-hmm. That can happen. So he has the power to do that in determining what the final result will be. Also, he will have to report in his report. We spoke about the pre-meeting that there will obviously set out timelines, procedure, the limitation of issues of the arbitrator, reading of expert evidence, very important, is the guy properly or lady properly qualified to give evidence? Mm-hmm. The arbitrator will have the right to judge on that. And then there's always the possibility of a settlement that can be recommended. You know, it's not just a definite straight ruling. Sometimes you start the arbitration, the claimant leaves his evidence, the respondent comes and he's like a common denominator. They're just not quite 100% there. And the arbitrator can certainly make, a decision that he suggests settlement on the following basis to avoid lengthy litigation costs and the like. So the possibility of a settlement is always allowed. The other aspects of the arbitrator which are left in his discretion is his fee, for example. Normally, though, up front, you will get a indication of what the fees are going to be. Most arbitrators as well call for a deposit in the sense that they will say we're going to sit 5 days at 20,000 each, that's 100,000. Each of you needs to pay 50,000 in, and then it will be rectified by way of my ruling at the end. So expect to pay money up front with an arbitration. It's a definite. The dates and times of the meeting, the arbitrator will normally say this is the time frame we're going to do, and he has the right to determine it. He has the right to set it down when everybody is available. So, you also have, from the pre-meeting, dates when documents must be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you would give it to the arbitrator, say, 5 to 10 days beforehand, so that he's not taken by surprise. He has time to read through it. You don't want to get to a situation where you arrive on the morning, the claimant puts his claim in, and then the defendant gives a response to it, normally such that it's done beforehand, and determine then exactly, what the basis of the matter is.
Mm-hmm.
So very important to have your relevant documents and stated case in writing beforehand. The hearing itself, it will take place at a venue, like I said, agreed on by both parties. Both parties entitled to legal representation normally, unlike mediation where sometimes you don't allow representation, but certainly with an arbitration it is expected that it will be allowed. So you don't have fear of having to go and present something before somebody that's legally wise and able to stand all over you. So the arbitrator will at the hearing tell you what the stance is with regard to the rules of evidence, any procedures that he's going to do, and when it will commence, what the tea time will be, what the end time will be, and that type of thing. So then you'll hear all that evidence, bring all your witnesses in. Could take a couple of weeks, couple of months. Both parties will get a right to produce their evidence, freely. You cannot interfere with what is being produced. Like a normal court, though, you can object to evidence if you feel that it's not correct. So what you've got over there is that eventually, after all the evidence has been heard, the arbitrator normally is expected within 30 days to make a decision and to furnish both parties with that decision. So it's not a case of the proceedings over and a year later you're still waiting for a decision. In your pre-arbitration meeting, you will say the arbitrator will produce his evidence within such and such a period.
Mm-hmm.
So also in that pre-agreement, you will find that, addresses and the old age fax numbers, now email addresses, will be put in place. It will cover the recording of the proceedings, like I mentioned. It will cover the costs of the proceedings. Costs are very important because they can allow for them to be taxed on that if you're not happy. So it needs to be considered and placed in writing. You'll have the right to appeal, perhaps. Normally it is subject to appeal within a certain period, but then you need to make sure that it's correctly sorted. I mean, one of the big and famous ones in that regard at this stage in our court law is the one of Yuri Ru versus the University of Stellenbosch. That's where the guy in charge of SA Rugby was working for University of Stellenbosch, and of course he had an award against him. I think that was $37 million or something for monies that were pushed through his various accounts, which he couldn't account for properly. He took that award on appeal, but lost that because they found the procedure was correct, and of course he had to pay that back. So you do have a right of appeal. That right of appeal in terms of the Act, I'm not sure, I think somehow in my mind that it's Section 33 or something of the Act that does allow for the thing to be appealed against. So the appeal normally as well will, the pre-agreement will stipulate where the appeal will be heard. You can take the appeal through to the court. What you normally find is once there's an award and a person's not cooperating with that, the person who has been successful will then take it to the court to, you get a right to have it made an order of court. The arbitration is a final award and must be respected, but in order to proceed further, you're entitled to take it to the High Court or whatever court to have the appeal made an order of court. So you've got that to take into account as well. Appeal is straightforward, and it's either to dismiss it or to vary the award or to substitute it, etc. That's normally what happens with the appeal. There is an appeal tribunal, as far as I know, as well. You can consider the matter. The appeal tribunal has a right to refer it back for review. They either say that it's final and binding. They'll come back and say that the award needs to be altered. Or even come back and say that, we need to take it back for further evidence or something like that, because, yes, evidence wasn't led, but it subsequently comes to the fore. So it's there. Arbitration is very, very interesting. And then, of course, the whole award is normally, put into writing by the arbitrator. The agreement is produced, signed by him, and then both parties normally have to sign it as well, so that it's a proper binding order. You get instances where one of the parties refuses to sign because they refuse to accept it, and like I said, that's when you can go back to the appeal tribunal and have it rectified. So that's basically why your appeal on arbitration, and also your arbitration agreement. That's going through an arbitration agreement. So it is a proper lengthy process dealt with correctly.
And Peter, just a question on all of these processes. Would one go the arbitration route instead of going to court? Would it be an alternative to an actual court case?
It is an alternative. So like I said in the beginning, Wayne, what normally happens is that if you enter into a contract, let's just say that you enter into a building contract, it normally comes along and says that in the event of a dispute arising at the end or whenever, the matter must first be referred to arbitration before the party is entitled to take it to a court of law.
Okay.
So that often happens. As I say, most contracts, if I do a sale of a business, it has a arbitration or a mediation clause differentiates between the two. Any action that you bring must have an agreement in that regard. So you can't just decide, that I've got a dispute. Peter has a dispute with Wayne, and I'm taking Wayne to an arbitrator to have a decision made. There must be an agreement. If there's not an agreement in writing to say that what we were doing together needs to be sorted that way, then it's got to be an agreement to do so. So arbitration is not automatic. It's not something that you can just go out and do.
Right. So so there will be agreements in place at the beginning of a contract or a process that's being entered into.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's either predetermined in writing, alternatively, by agreement, you can go to arbitration.
Okay. Right.
You know, often in matters where there's silly little, let's say that, for example, you've got a dispute over a motor car engine that's been repaired. You know, there's either mediation where you get another expert in to come along and you both accept that you will accept what it is, or you can go the route of arbitration where an arbitrator is appointed and he examines it as an expert and you give evidence in that regard and then a final decision is made.
Okay.
But like you say, mostly in writing beforehand, predetermined that arbitration will be applicable.
Interesting process, and it's good to know that there are all sorts of sometimes alternative processes that one can follow. And Peter, if somebody wants to get hold of you and or Alum's attorneys, how do they go about it?
They can like us on Facebook under Alum with an S on the end, Alums. If you like us there, you'll find our page, all our info is there. Alternatively, we're situated at 6 Hansom Road in Vincent. Telephone number 043-7211-018. You know, we're in that little side street where pet stores are. That's the easiest. And, you know, our office hours are there, 7:30 to 4 o'clock. But if you send a message, we'll certainly come back to you.
Great. And of course, this chat will be on our website later on today and then shared with the various Facebook pages as well.
Yes, with us as well. That's onto our WhatsApp. All our chats on there as well. As I mentioned previously, we work hand in hand with you people and we've got a long and lengthy relationship, which is lovely.
Great. And looking forward to a longer one. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week. And looking forward to chatting again next week, Monday.